Our second reading is from the letter of James, chapter 3, verse 13, through chapter 4, verse 3, and then verse 7 and the first part of verse 8 in chapter 4. So we've been following all throughout this month the Gospel of Mark and the letter of James. That's what the lectionary, the calendar of prescribed scripture readings, has us doing. And so we're jumping around a little bit in this section, but I invite you to hear, again, the Word of God. James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this past week, Jen and I have been bombarded with questions from one of our children who wants to get a new video game. We have responded that I have looked at this, I have read about it, I've done the research, I have seen it, I have talked to other people about it, and we do not think this game is appropriate or a good game for you to be playing at your age, so no, we are not going to be getting this. But that has not stopped him from asking, why can't I get it? What's wrong with it? Why do all my friends have it and I can't get it? Why do their parents let them play it? When can I get it? How old do I have to be? All of my friends play it. I feel left out. The other day, as they were coming off the bus, the first thing we hear is, "My friend said that this game is actually good for you because it helps you with problem solving and survival skills and all these other things that I can't remember, but just ask him." Yeah, I'll ask your 9-year-old friend how I should parent you. And he just kept at it over and over and over again, and at one point, in his turn, passive-aggressive. I walked into the living room and found him just sitting on the couch looking at a picture of the game with sadness and longing in his eyes. We're in the car and I'm talking to him about school, just the usual. "How was your day today? What was good? What was hard?" And he says, "School's boring. All of my friends just talk about this game, but I can't talk about it because I won't play it." Yeah, now you know how I feel. Jen and I were in the kitchen getting dinner ready, and he comes in and says, can you just come look at it? Look at it." And we explained, "No, we're in the middle of fixing dinner. We can't come look at it right now." And he walked away dejected, and Jen said, "He is persistent. You know, we have to give him that." But that's the thing with kids, right? When they want something, they ask. When they want to know something, they ask. If they don't understand something, they ask. Any question that pops into their mind at any time, at any place, appropriate or not, they ask. And while it can be exhausting, it's a good thing, right? I mean, that's how they explore and learn and grow, by asking questions. It's something It's something that a lot of us lose as we grow older. We get conditioned to stop asking questions because we're adults and we're supposed to know. We don't want to look foolish or stupid. We don't want people to think that we are lacking. So you're having a conversation with someone and they say, well, I was just over at this event and it's over at the Johnson Center, and that's, you know where that is? It's over on Group 3, and we sit there saying, yeah. Even when we have no idea what they're talking about. There is something in a lot of us that as we get older, as we move further away from childhood, we stop asking questions. Jesus tells his disciples for the second time that he will be betrayed and killed, and after 3 days he will rise again. Once again, they have no idea what he is talking about. It says they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. They might have been afraid because of what just happened to Peter last week. If you were here and remember this, Jesus says this. He says, I'm going to be betrayed and suffer and die and on the third day rise again. And Peter challenges him on it. He pushes back a little bit. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So the other disciples, they saw this. They don't want to get rebuked like Peter did, called out in front of all the other disciples. Or maybe each disciple thinks that all the others understand what Jesus is talking about, and I don't want to be the one who admits that I don't get it. And so you can picture Jesus telling them he's going to be betrayed and suffer and die and rise again in 3 days and asking them, do you understand what I'm saying to you? And they kind of look around at each other and say, yeah, three days. We get it. For whatever reason, they are afraid to ask. Then they start arguing with each other over which one of them is the greatest. Jesus finds out about it because he asks a question, what are you arguing about? And he says to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he places a small child among them. Now, a lot of times we understand what Jesus does here as telling them that they need to be like a little child, be gentle and innocent and trusting and inquisitive and ask questions, have a childlike faith. And he does say that elsewhere. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That was actually the sermon that I was expecting to preach today. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says, whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. He's not telling them to be like a child. He's telling them to welcome a child. Other translations have this as, whoever receives such a child in my name receives me. The Greek word here is dekomai, and it literally means to take by the hand. Whoever takes such a child by the hand takes me by the hand. What is Jesus talking about here? It helps to understand that while our culture prizes youth and values children, we place them on a pedestal and base our lives and so much of our culture around children. While that is the case with us, it was not the case in Jesus' time. In the first century Greco-Roman world, children were not commonly thought of as innocent, sweet, and trusting. They were not like an ideal to strive towards. They were thought of as nuisances who were to be disciplined and tolerated until they became useful, reasonable adults. One day, they would become valuable when they could help with the work and earn money and take care of the parents and ensure the survival of the family. But until then, They were just in the way. They didn't contribute anything. They used up limited resources. They had no rights, no legal protection, no status, no power. They were weak, and they were vulnerable. There's a story right after this in chapter 10 where people are bringing children to Jesus for him to bless and heal. The disciples see this, and they get upset. It says they speak sternly to the people who were bringing the children. Why? Because they think, why should Jesus be wasting his time and energy on children who can't get it and can't do anything about it? He should be focusing on the adults. But Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. The kingdom of God belongs to those who have no rights, no legal protection, no status, no power. It belongs to those who are weak and vulnerable. Who would the kingdom of God belong to in our society? The disciples are basing their understanding of greatness on the world's standards, power and prestige. But Jesus says that greatness is shown in how we receive and serve the weak and the vulnerable, and how we take by the hand those who have no power and no prestige. In receiving them and serving them, we receive and serve God. So there is the world's understanding of greatness and power, and there is God's understanding of greatness and power. James follows up on this. James writes that there are two types of wisdom. We talked about a month ago about how wisdom is not just what you know, but how you use what you know, what you do with it. And James says, okay, so now what does that look like to be wise? What does it look like to live that out? There is, he says, the wisdom of the world that is marked by envy and selfish ambition and deceit. James says, you want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something, you can't obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. According to the wisdom of the world, if you want something, you don't ask. You take it. You find a way to get it. You fight for it. If you do ask, you ask in such a way that is looking out for yourself, for your own well-being and pleasure, not the well-being of others. The wisdom of the world is all about looking out for one's self. And there is the wisdom of God that is marked by peace and gentleness and mercy, looking out for others. When you want something, you ask. But you're asking in such a way that seeks the well-being of those around you, of everyone, not just yourself. James calls us to turn away from the wisdom of the world. He says, resist the devil. That's what he's saying here. Turn away from that and draw near to God. How do we draw near to God? By drawing near to the weak and the vulnerable. Remember what Jesus says, when you take them by the hand, you take me by the hand. He says elsewhere, as you do to the least of these, you do to me. The disciples were living according to the wisdom of the world, looking out for themselves. Christ calls them and us to live according to the wisdom of God by giving of ourselves, sacrificing ourselves to care for the weak and the vulnerable. Last Sunday, we had a memorial service here in the afternoon. And after the service, I was downstairs in Fellowship Hall at the reception when a man came up to me. And we talked briefly about the service and the person who had died and how he knew and what the connection was. And then at one point, he said to me, "Can I ask you a dumb question? Could you please pray for the Catholic Church?" He said, "We're going through such a hard time right now. Our leaders that we trusted with our lives and our faith and our children have betrayed us. And we are really experiencing a crisis of faith." We've all heard stories in the news, what happened here in Pennsylvania. Priests abusing children, those higher up protecting the priest, covering it up, moving them around rather than removing them from ministry, and allowing the abuse to continue for decades. Generations of children broken by men whose only job was to model for these children the love of Jesus Christ. But they sought their own power and satisfaction rather than looking out for the weak and the vulnerable. As this man spoke to me, his eyes filled up with tears, and I could tell that he was hurting and broken. He needed something, and he was not afraid to ask for it. But he wasn't asking for himself. He was asking on behalf of others, on behalf of the weak and the vulnerable. He was seeking their well-being. He was hurting and suffering with them because he had drawn near to them, received them, taken them by the hand. Jesus talks about taking up our cross and following him. That's what that looks like. Emptying ourselves out of ambition and pride and self-focus and bearing the suffering and pain of the world. Suffering alongside those who are suffering. Letting our hearts break for that which is broken. And then living in ways that seek to bring about healing and peace. Shunning the world's notions of greatness and power, and drawing near to those who are weak and vulnerable. Because when we draw near to them, we draw near to God. And when we serve them, we serve God. So let us turn to God in prayer now, not for the ways that God might bless us, but asking God's blessing upon others. Let us pray. Gracious God, in Jesus Christ, you drew near to those who were weak and vulnerable and scared and hurting and suffering. You have already shown us how to do that. We pray for your blessing upon those who are hurting and suffering. Poor and hungry, weak and vulnerable. We ask for your blessing upon our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, that you would use this to bring about healing, to bring about a new age of faith and trust in them. Even though we have been divided as a church for 500 years, we are still one in you, all children of the same Father. So we ask for your spirit of healing to surround and fill our brothers and sisters, for all those who are in need, Lord. Not only would you draw near to them, but may we draw near to them. We give of ourselves, pouring out our own lives, that your healing and blessing might be at work through us to them. There is so much pain and brokenness in the world right now. And you have shown us what to do. You have shown us in Christ how to bring about this healing. May your Holy Spirit be at work among all of us, that we might live out the wisdom we have seen in you. We ask your blessing on all who are in need, and we ask only that we might be a blessing to them, as you have blessed us in Christ. Amen.